Thank you for that wonderful prayer, Noella. And now we are beginning the last session together. The training process. Now, when we spank our children, we never hit them on the face. We never slap them on the hands. Their little bones are growing. We never hit them on the back. Their spinal column is exposed. We never hit them on the ears or the head. We could damage them. We never strike them on the legs. But God has created a fleshy part of the body. No bones, no organs. In fact, scientists are in great dispute of why it's even there. But God in His sovereignty has given all of our children the buttocks where they can receive spanks. So how do we begin? We start with the training spank. Okay? You are walking by and you see little Hezekiah and playing on the floor with his toys. And you say, Hezekiah, dinner in 5 minutes, pick up your toys. Hezekiah says, yes, Dad. Then as he begins picking up his toys, he sees something, a little toy there that he hasn't seen in a long time. And he gets distracted and begins playing with it. And you come back in, you say, Hezekiah, what are you doing? Picking up? No, Hezekiah, you are playing. Now, is it a good wisdom and life skill to be given a task and then without being supervised to finish it? Is that a good wisdom and life skill? Is it a good wisdom and life skill for someone who is given a task to be able to complete that task without being supervised? Is that good or bad? That's good. And so we want to help our children succeed. And we want to give them a training spank to help them. That way you're not always nagging your children. Get up, get up, get up, get up. Get out of bed, get out of bed, get out of bed. Wash up, wash up, wash up, wash up. Come to the breakfast table, come to the breakfast table. Come to eat your food, eat your food, eat your food. Wear your socks, wear your socks, wear your socks. Get your books, get your books, get your books. Get out of the door, get out of the door, get out of the door. Yeah. But by using the training stroke or spank, we can teach them that when they're told to do something, they can do it unsupervised. You know, as a pastor, I know there are certain people who volunteer to do things. I know I'm going to have to finish it myself because they just can't finish a task. It's easier to do it yourself. Don't raise that trait in your child. So there's Hezekiah. He's playing with his toy. So you get down to his level so you can communicate with him. Hezekiah, what did Daddy say? Now you're instructing. I'll pick up my toys. What were you doing? I'm playing. That's right, Hezekiah. One stroke. Say, I will obey Daddy quickly the first time. I will obey Daddy quickly the first time. Okay, put your hand on your cheeks. One stroke. Now, why did you give that stroke, Hezekiah?
Because I was playing.
No, playing is okay. We all play. You disobeyed Daddy. That's why you got the stroke. Say, I will obey. I will obey. Okay. And then you hug him and kiss him and restore it and let him finish.
And within a short time, whenever Hezekiah is given an instruction, he will finish it unsupervised. Periodically, you will have to reestablish through a training stroke. What is the next lesson level? It's disobedience. Disobedience is two strokes. You ask Hezekiah to pick up his toys. Hezekiah's sister, however, is having a little treat. Maybe some banana or cookie. And Hezekiah wants a treat too, so he quits picking up his toy and goes into the kitchen to eat a treat. Now he's disobeyed you, hasn't he? His disobedience is a willful decision to choose. That's two strokes. So you instruct. Two strokes. Okay, you instruct. Why did you give it? I was eating cookie. No. Eating cookie is all right. I eat cookies, mommy eats cookies. What did you do? I disobeyed. You see, that's instruction, isn't it? You are instructing him. The goal is for foolishness to leave so instruction can enter. Wisdom and foolishness cannot exist in the same place. Foolishness leaves, instruction and wisdom enters, and then you restore. Rebellion. Rebellion is three strokes. He stamps his foot and says no. He throws a toy at you. He hits you. He runs away. That is a very serious sin. The Bible says rebellion is like witchcraft. You want to jump on top of that immediately. So that's three strokes with the rod. Discipline, you instruct, you discipline, you instruct, you restore. And you just have to be consistent. Staying in bed is an illustration. You put little Hezekiah in bed. And a minute later, he comes out. I'm thirsty! I'm thirsty! Okay, now you give him some water. Put him in bed. I have to go potty! I have to go! Okay, so now you let him go. I'm scared! I'm scared! Now you put him in. I heard. What did I hear? I hear something. No. No, you can do that all night. First time he gets out, it's an instruction stroke. After that, they are disobedient strokes. Hezekiah, mommy and daddy have provided you a safe place to sleep. You are well fed. You are not dehydrated. We have prayed over you. A Christian virtue is courage. Is a Christian virtue courage? Was Joshua courageous? Was Deborah courageous? Was Sarah courageous? Was Ezra courageous? Was Esther? Yes. So Hezekiah, you need to learn self-control. You need to learn to overcome your fears. You are going to be a little Joshua. You are going to be a little Sarah. You are going to stay in bed. And after that, it's two strokes. And soon, you put your child in bed, and your child stays in bed and goes to sleep. Children cannot do well in school if they do not have a good night's sleep. Who knows how long a child should sleep? There's your child. No, you do. Your child does not know how to be 2 years old. Neither do all the other 2-year-olds. Only you know how to be 2 years old. So you prepare your 2-year-old for success. And children need a good night's sleep to do well in school. So they go to bed and they stay in bed. I will obey daddy or mommy quickly the first time. We instruct, we discipline, we instruct, we restore. We administer the discipline in a controlled manner. Our children should never worry about what we are going to do. Sometimes they get 10 hits with the switch, sometimes none. No, it needs to be consistent. Training, one spank. Disobedient, two. Rebellion, three. Your child always knows the consequences And as a result, they concentrate on instruction, not on what you may or may not do. See the importance in that? We have the child, when we instruct them, repeat back to us why they are being disciplined. And we make sure they know it's not because they made us mad. It's not because they broke the cup. No, I break cups. Mommy break cups. Everybody breaks cups. Why? I disobeyed. I crawled up on the counter. Yes, that is why. And then we discipline them. We always love and reinforce our love to the child when the child obeys. That's how God treats us, doesn't He? We don't send our children to be alone in their room to punish them, because they're not alone. They're with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Disobedience in our relationship of God with God does not break fellowship with God. It intensifies His desire to help us to be successful. He gets involved in our lives. We don't lose our salvation. It's the same way with our children. Disobedience causes us to be more involved with their life. Disobedience is always the issue. It is never the relationship. The relationship is never in question. Your child should not have to disobey to get you involved in their life. In fact, the more obedient and respectful your child is, the more involved family members will be in their life. So that is a great gift you give your children. So in the final analysis, let's turn back to Ephesians 6, shall we? Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. What we are concerned about is our children being in a right relationship with God, with we as parents being in a right relationship with God, and of our family experiencing the success of that relationship. That is very important, that we conform our family to the written, holy Word of God. Now, I trust and pray that this seminar has been a blessing to you. What you've got here are the notes. You can go back and look at the Bible verses. You've also got the daily quiet times that you can, men, you can lead your family in daily devotionals and meditate on these things. But remember, it is the obedience of the Word of God that we're after, not simply the knowledge. Now, our time is up. I found that I finish a little early, I'm invited back. So let's stand and ask God to bless our time together, shall we? Okay. McDonald, would you close us in prayer, please?
Father, we are so grateful for this wonderful moment that we have together with you, that you are instructing us, teaching us, convicting us, and correcting us, and all this so that we be able to walk towards righteousness. Father, we thank you for your word that has come to us now. We thank you for the John that has presented to us. We pray that, Lord, you will continually help us to to be able to discipline myself towards obedience. And so that I will be able to reach the children that will grow up and be the top of the society in order to bring others back to their own saving knowledge. Father, we pray that as we are first, this will not fall on the soil which is will intend to write but on the soil that is we thank you so much for all of it. And we pray that, O Lord, that as we go back home, we will bless you and invite you.
Thank you and God bless you. Now I'll turn this over to McDonald. He may have some closing statements.